believers of all time, King David, are brought to their knees, and the doctrine that they have in their soul doesn't even seem to apply, that God is dealing with them. But they have reached a point where they thought they could make it without Him. They were so mature, so strong. So God wanted their attention. We will never reach a point, people, where you don't need Him personally. You understand? This is not a study in any way demeaning power of Bible doctrine, but it does not take the place of a personal, dynamic relationship, intimate relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And any time a believer thinks that it does, God will bring them to their knees if He has to get them to focus their attention on Him. Let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God. The only way that we can understand God's Word is in the filling of the Holy Spirit. Spirituality is not some type of a machine, as I read to you from Lewis Berry Safer, and I will be doing more of that in the last lesson or two of this study. Spirituality is a personal relationship. Sin is one of the problems that has to be taken care of, but it is not the only problem that has to be taken care of to be sure that we are in the power, in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We grieve Him, we quench Him. And even when you quench Him, you lose relationship with Him. So this time gives you an opportunity to evaluate your relationship with the Holy Spirit, to rely on Him by faith for the understanding of the Word of God, that we might understand these truths and apply them to our lives. Let's spend a few minutes in prayer to prepare ourselves for our study. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to assemble ourselves this evening with other believers who are like-minded for the purpose of worshiping You in spirit and in truth. And now, Father, we dedicate the next few moments to the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit, that we may accurately exegete and understand the passages that are before us and apply these very important principles of truth to our lives, that we may fulfill our destiny and our purpose and our mission in the short time that we have, but in the fulfillment of it, ever advancing in our personal relationship with You, with Your Son and Your Spirit. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now we have moved from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where you will recall that the Apostle Paul has more doctrine than any person will ever have in the church age. He has inside of his soul one category of doctrine that he can't even speak. He is forbidden to even speak. He cannot even speak it. Let's put the word, not even teach, he can't even speak it. He can't tell anyone of it. This is doctrine, this is truth that he learned when he went up to heaven, but he was not allowed to teach it. He also has, at the time of 2 Corinthians, he also has the mystery doctrine of the church age. And this he is to teach all so that we know how to live the Christ-centered life. So he has this doctrine. However, God sent to him, God, we're dealing with what kind of a God we have, it is God who allowed Satan to send a demon to buffet Paul, knock him to his knees, to where his weakness was revealed, and Paul realized that he couldn't do anything, and the reason for this was so that he would see that God's grace was all sufficient to keep Paul from exalting himself in his knowledge of the Word, in who and what he is, and twice in the one verse, to keep me from exalting myself, puffing himself up. And therefore, he said, I would rather boast of my weaknesses, rather than the doctrine I have in my soul, I would rather boast of my weakness, because it is in our weakness that God is able to come in and reveal himself to us. Now that brings us to where we left off last night, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the principle of the comfort. Because we're looking at the phrase, my grace is sufficient and my power is perfected in weakness. Now what happens when you reach that point? And many believers will, some will not. And those of you who do not, you won't understand those that do and what is occurring. But it's happened to a lot of believers, and I've seen it happen to a lot of believers in our own Bible camp movement, Bible church movement, and then they have to decide that something's wrong with me. I can't apply the doctrine in my soul. Something must be wrong. Either doctrine doesn't work or something's wrong with me. I know doctrine works, but something's wrong with me, and they go to the cosmos. Don't do that. There's nothing wrong with you, other than the fact that you're a member of the human race, and God has brought you to the most wonderful place you could ever be brought, and that is to a place where you're now ready to see His grace. You are now ready for a very personal, intimate relationship. If you cop out at that moment, you're missing out on one of the most wonderful relationships with the Lord and with God that you would ever have had possibly the chance of knowing. In 2 Corinthians 1, dealing with where we left off, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, there's the first thing of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God, which is in Corinth, geographical location of the local assembly of believers, with all the saints who are throughout Achaia, grace to you, peace from God our Father, another principle of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now verse 3, where we left off. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of comfort. I don't know what all of you know about God. I don't know your relationship with God. But when we finish another series we're going to be doing and knowing God personally, you're going to learn that God is. But even more important to the born-again believer, we know this, and we know how He exists. What is more important to us is how God behaves. In other words, God is righteous and God is just. God is love. God is faithful. God, by His own confession, God is loving kindness. God is compassionate. God is slow to anger. God is the God, right here in our passage, He is the God of comfort. He is the Father, wonderful relationship here. He is the Father of mercy. This is knowing God. This is how Paul knew God. Remember, 2 Corinthians is a most personal letter, not a theological dissertation. It is a defense of his person, his ministry, and all the charges made against him. And he knows and will reveal things about a personal relationship with God. And people, if you don't know God as the God of comfort and the God of mercy and the God of compassion and the God of loving kindness, I'm here to tell you, you don't know Him. You don't know Him. But I hope someday you're brought to your knees in your total weakness so that you'll get to know Him that way. So that you'll understand a personal relationship with Him. Continuing now, Father of mercies, God of comfort. Last night we dealt with the word all. And we spent some time in the understanding of all circumstances, all things that are going on. It doesn't matter, people, and I want to reiterate, it doesn't matter whether you are at the point of maximum suffering and there is a pain inside of your soul to the point you can't even apply doctrine, and other believers will come along and no spiritual love and arrogantly tell you to apply doctrine, straighten up. And by all of your strength, you cry, you can't do it. And they will judge you. I'll show you that in David. Like Job's friends, arrogant, puffed up with their knowledge, have no idea what was going on. Please don't let that happen from a member of this church. I want you filled with all the knowledge of the will of God and spiritual wisdom so that you can walk in a manner that is pleasing to Him. not so that you can boast and arrogantly walk around of how much better you are than anyone else and straighten people out when they're so weak they can't even apply. God is dealing with them, and you better understand it if you're going to do what we have in verse 4 here. But let's, before we get there, here is the pain that is in the soul. Here is the pain that hurts. And when you reach that point, then you're going to have to need to know, and it can come about, this word all, again, so important. I don't want to re-preach last night, but this is so important. All circumstances. I don't care if it's because of a sin pattern. What happens here? Let me tell you what happens. There are two major problems. One problem is the problem that I can do it all in my own strength. See? I am all self-sufficient. I am strong in myself. See? The John Wayne Christian. And I can pull myself up by the bootstraps and move on. The other problem is, well, I'm so weak in all of this, I don't even deserve. I am unworthy. I am unworthy of God's mercy. I am unworthy of God's love. I am unworthy of God's comfort. Both of these are so wrong, it's unbelievable. This leads to the fall of Paul and David. And this David's going to have a problem here, as we're going to see. But you reach this point where you come to the point of recognizing your weaknesses. But you see, I don't care if it's by sin, by the circumstances of life, by Satan, as with Paul, a demon followed him around and beat him every now and then. So here we have sin, circumstances, Satan. I don't care if it's testing from God. Whatever it may be, whatever it is that causes you to fall to your knees and realize your weaknesses. This is where God has to take some believers, generally great believers who are strong. So all circumstances, it simply does not matter the circumstances. Now we come to that word comfort. The root of this word is, we will study in John when Jesus Christ says, I will send you a comforter. The word is paraklesis, and the word means, I'll just tell you what the word in the English means, paraklesis. Klesis means to call. Para means alongside of, to call alongside of. This is the word translated comfort, and it is used for the Holy Spirit, the comforter. God comes along aside of you, a person. A person comes alongside of you, it means exactly that. Don't make any more or any less out of the word comfort. That's what it means. It means that you're sitting there in great pain and you hurt inside of your soul, and God comes along and sits down beside you. The God of mercy, God of comfort. The Father of mercy. He comes and sits right down beside you. And this is what we'll see next week when we finish this little study we're in the midst of and dealing with the Holy Spirit. And I put all of this together for you in how that this is not what we want to say in the status of weakness. But let's note the word now. It means to come alongside so as to render comfort. First of all, those of you taking notes, do not look in this word for something you have to do. Do not look in this word for something you have to do. There is nothing that you can do for this comfort. In fact, there's nothing you can do, because if you could do something, you wouldn't need it. This is when you are so weak because of your weaknesses, there is absolutely nothing that you can do. Just as there was nothing you could do for your salvation, there is nothing that you can do for this comfort. If there was something that you could do for mercy and comfort and power, then people, you wouldn't need mercy, comfort, and power. You'd have the power to do it. See, what we're talking about is that believer. And generally, again, I'll remind you, great believer, strong believer, who's brought to his knees and cries out. And this is when God says, now I got you right where I want you. Now you realize how hopeless and helpless you really are. You thought you were pretty strong. But now you're going to have to turn to me. And that's when he's ready to come in and get comfort if you will allow him. Secondly, do not look for this comfort in something in the future. That's hope. That's hope. I'm not talking about hope. I'm talking about comfort. It is not comfort in a future event. Like, let me give you a couple. Like, your circumstances are going to change. This is not the comfort we have here, people. See, there's a comfort in that. Using a word I'll show you in the Bible in a moment, David is pining, wasting away. Yeah, there's a comfort. Somebody comes along and says, hey, don't worry about it. You don't have to go bankrupt. Everything's going to be taken care of. Here's $3 million. Yeah, I'm comforted. Raise your head, look up, and say, boy, this is great, let's go. That's not the comfort we're talking about. This is not a comfort that comes with the change in circumstances. People, as I told you last night, it's the easiest thing in the world for God to control the circumstances. It's the easiest thing in the world. God can control the circumstances. You won't even sin. Just keep removing all the obstacles. Sometimes an illustration comes while I'm teaching and I forget it and move on. So many people may comment about the golf ball illustration. Well, I must have hit a good one. But that's what can happen. Golf ball hitting right for the tree. God, what kind of God do you have? He can reach over and move the tree. And the ball goes right straight in, goes into the hole. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't remove these opportunities for you to sin and fail. He doesn't remove them. He brings you to this point so that you learn something about him you don't know. And that's his comfort. That's leaning on him and understanding him personally. So we're not talking about a comfort that comes with something in the future. See, there's a hope. There's a hope. Let's deal with two else. There's a hope. Someone you love dies. There's a hope. And there's a form of comfort, but that isn't what we're talking about here. But there's a form of hope. They're in heaven, you'll be with them. That's future. See, that's hope. I'm talking comfort. I'm talking something that can give me comfort right now in the midst of this pain. And I'm not talking about changing the circumstances either. Remember what I gave you the first or second night of this study. There is no circumstance, God, that's too big for God. Remember, Mary? If you'd have only been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Your friend, you failed me. With all her doctrine, you failed me. If the Lord breaks her, some of you would, I'm afraid. He just looked at her and said, no, Mary, you don't understand. The circumstance is the easiest thing in the world. Watch. Watch, Mary. Lazarus? Lazarus, come on back. Death's not too much for him. But what do we learn in a relationship with him if he just changes the circumstances? Because you have to be at this point to see the comfort right in the midst of it, right in the midst of the hurt. So this is not in a future event. This is not in changing the circumstances that are involved. This comfort is not in the future, not in the changing of the circumstances, not in straightening things out. People, do you understand? That's so easy. You take Job through all that he went through. At the end, what did God do? All the blessings are there. We get so wrapped up, and that's what the whole point is, that what he wants to do is take you to take your eyes off of self, off of the circumstances, and now turn those crying eyes of yours on him. and realize in your weakness you can't handle the circumstances and you can't even really control yourself in it. Now you're beginning to see how weak you are. You cannot control the circumstances. You cannot stop them from happening. You cannot stop that. You cannot stop people from gossiping. You cannot stop people from hurting you. You cannot stop the husband from divorcing you. You cannot stop the wife from divorcing you. You cannot stop these things. So that's one place of how weak we are. And then second of all, you can't do anything about it inside of yourself. It comes so heavy on your soul, you can't even apply the doctrine in your soul. Now you begin to see how weak I really am. And now God says, that's right where I want you. That's why I let all of this happen. So now that you're going to see that my grace is sufficient and I am the God of comfort. I am the Father of mercy. So this comfort comes when you need it and when you turn to that personal relationship with God. And He is going to come and give you this comfort. This comfort is a reality. It is not by the changing of circumstances of your life. He will do that later, after you have recovered. That's easy. But you would never learn, here's the principle, you will never learn His mercy, His comfort, His power, His grace, a personal relationship, if you just simply remove the circumstances. See, people, God is the Father. He is the Father of mercy. He is the God of comfort. Now, when you are a Father of mercy and a God of comfort, you want to give them. You want to express your mercy and express your comfort. But here is your child, a born-again believer. Here is your child, father-son relationship. And the child has reached the point because of things that you've given, they don't even need you. They don't need your comfort. They don't think they need your comfort. Please remember principle we feed. I don't care how great you become as a believer. I don't care how much doctrine you have in your soul. You're never as much as Paul. You are never going to reach a point where you do not need the grace of God. You do not need a personal relationship with God. Please don't ever think you do. Or He might have to show you just how much you do need. You will never reach a point, believer, in your spiritual maturity where you do not need the God of comfort. And if you don't know Him that way, He's going to show you. And it may take you through some great pain and some unbelievable suffering. Now, He's going to do all of that so that you will turn to Him. He desires, here's the principle, He desires for you to know Him. That He loves no matter how weak you are. We got this idea that God looks down and sees you so weak that you can't even apply doctrine. I'm afraid we've given the impression, meaning I, as the pastor, given the impression that you're so weak you can't apply doctrine. God looks down and says, well, you no good loser. I don't want you on my team. I want winners. Wrong! This is right where God wants you. He does not want people who are strong in themselves. He wants people who are strong, which we will end up with next week, in Him. And sometimes He has to bring Paul to this point, and David, and a lot of believers, to the point, people, where we're so weak. Now God says, now I'm ready. But people will tell you, there'll be friends of yours that will tell you, well, you're a loser. You're not going to make it on here. Wrong. That's right where God wants you. Right where you're so pining in your soul and hurting, now you're ready to turn to Him and rely on Him and have that wonderful personal relationship with Him. But what about knowing Him? Wouldn't that lead to it? You would think so. You would think so. But let's take the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul had all that. People, he went to heaven. In whatever manifestation God is in heaven, Paul saw it. You haven't, Paul has. And yet Paul comes down here and he gets to the point where he exalts himself. He doesn't need God. And so God says, I'll show you do need me. you do need me. And then Paul is ready to understand this comfort, and that's what he now presents. And this is what God wants you to do. You know, we talk about mission, we talk about our purpose, and we must. And we're doing that in our study in the fruit of the Spirit. But I want you to understand, he doesn't want you to ever forget your relationship with him. Don't forget the church of Ephesus that we looked at last week in the book of Revelation. The church of Ephesus, they had all of the doctrine and they had all of the production and they were moving along so well, and the only thing negative about them was one thing. You left me behind. You forgot your first love, Jesus Christ. You left me behind, and I'll whip you right out of this business. I'll pull your local church out so fast. I'll put that lampstand out, meaning the local church. I don't care how much accuracy and truth you want and how great your productions are. You've left me. You've left my son. I'll pull you right out of existence. I'll leave Corinth, which is so divided in sin. But I'll pull you right out because you don't even see that you need me. You're doing so great, you don't even need me. He won't allow that. And any person, listen, any man, any woman with their salt in a marriage won't allow it. But that's what happens to a lot of marriages. They just keep going and keep going, and they've left the other person behind somewhere. When that type of thing happens, sometimes it takes a real crisis to bring it back together. This is what God is doing. It's these people that we're now in the midst of studying. All right, let's continue looking what he says. Paul is suffering. God is his comfort. Job, whom we will look at, is suffering. God is his comfort. David is suffering. God is his comfort. We're going to look at a passage, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. That's a person. Be strong in the Lord. I wonder how many of you at this point could tell someone how to be strong in the Lord. I'm not saying give them 5 points of doctrine. Can you tell somebody how to be strong in the Lord? You'll be able to when we get through. What brings us to this point? What brings us face to face with our weaknesses? Two major problems. One, we reach a point where we have maximum confidence in ourselves. Or two, we come to the point that we're totally worthless and unworthy of anything from God. Some think that they can do it all. This is what we're studying, arrogance on Sunday, spiritual arrogance. Some reach the point that they think they're totally unworthy. Another facet of arrogance. Both of these are wrong. Both have to come to the place that we're now studying in this study, and we'll look at in 1 Corinthians 13 under love is not arrogant. Personal sin. Personal sin to the point that it is so horrible and so out of control. It puts you so out of control. It caused you to so weaken that your very flesh is affected by it. And you begin to think, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? I have all of this doctrine, and my friends keep telling me I have all this doctrine. What's wrong? I can't apply it. And that's when a lot of people take off to human psychologists, take off to human answers, cosmic answers. Don't do that. You're at a wonderful point. There's nothing wrong with you, other than that you are weak in the flesh. But there's nothing particularly special wrong with you. You're right where God wants you. Boast about it. That's what Paul does. Because you're now ready, as we will see how, to focus all attention on a personal relationship with God. You stand before God totally naked. Some of us like to stand before God and everything's going good. We've got a lot of doctrine. We're taking it in. We're doing good. What kind of God do you have when you really fail? People, I mean, you really fail. When you have all of this thing and you're moving along at a good pace, and other people are talking about the place that you have, all right, then God's proud of me. I want to know what kind of God you have when you failed miserably and you're so weak and you're crying and screaming out like David and Habakkuk and Joel and many other of the prophets of the Old Testament and Paul, and you're screaming out and you don't even understand what's going on, like Paul in the book of Romans. Now, what kind of God do you have? A God that's going to come down and judge, malign, straighten you out, brace you? People, what in the life of our Lord whom He braced? He braced Martha when she was strong, standing in the kitchen doing work. She was strong. What did He do with Mary when she failed miserably? He was compassionate. Comfort. A friend. A friend. That's what a friend is. That's what He was. He didn't walk over and brace her, straighten her out. Mary was uncontrolled. She couldn't handle this. God, the Lord, had let her down. I mean, completely let her down. She blasphemed. And you know what He did? He gave comfort. I don't know what kind of God you have, but I know what kind of God I'm going to teach you to have. I want you to know Him. I want you to know the things that Paul and David and many of the believers talk about God. This is not the God of the Bible who is going to come down and say, I don't want you, you're a loser, you're too weak. That's exactly what He wants. I want you totally weak so that you'll be strong in My Son. So that you'll be strong in My Spirit. I don't want you, even in the spiritual realm, when we get to spiritual arrogance, on the worst types of arrogance, this is Paul's problem, David's problem. They weren't boasting of how great they were in the flesh, in the sense of the cosmic things. It was in their spiritual realm, how much doctrine they knew, their spiritual gift, how great they were. Oh yeah? You're so great, you don't need me? What? Now let's see you pull yourself through it. So this is exactly where God wants these people. Father of mercy, God of comfort. But learn something else about your God. He does not come. When you are at this weakened point, He does not come and chew you out. He does not say that you are a loser, like I'm afraid too many believers, even maybe around this church, who are occupied with themselves. And they think this is what God does, that God is a God who judges all the time, that God is a God who stands back at a distance and watches and waiting for us to fail so that He can judge. People, that's uncomfortable. If that's your God and if that's your Christian life, you didn't learn it here. I feel sorry for children reared in that kind of a home. And I give thanks that I wasn't. I'll just dare you to bring home a C. I'll dare you to fail in life. God, what a home. That's uncomfortable. There's no comfort there. You don't fail around here, and you don't do this, and you better, people, that is not God. I'm sorry if you think it is. That is not your God. He doesn't create an environment that's uncomfortable where you walk on eggshells, where you pay a lot of attention to sin and failure, and you always have to be a John Wayne Christian. That's not this God. He is the God of grace and mercy and long-suffering, comfort and mercy. And we're going to study Him and understand Him in all of these ways. But continuing, that is not an environment that I have just described of an environment of our God. That is uncomfortable, that is fearful. And that leads to where people are unworthy before Him. Now let's continue reading. Verse 3, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. And now, verse 4. One of the primary reasons why pastor teachers suffer. Pastor teachers suffer not so much for their own spiritual life, but so that they can comfort others. I personally think it's a bum rap. I really do. I don't say, you want to talk about unfair? This is unfair. But take a look. Who comforts us, talking about God, who comforts us, there's that word again, all. Sin, I don't care what it is, in all our afflictions. Why? So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. Now, this is why a lot of pastors have to suffer. And one would think with all the doctrine that Paul had and with all the doctrines they have, they would understand the need of others when they comfort. Now listen, you would think that a pastor who studied and studied and in the ministry for a long time, maybe not some young whippersnapper, but a person that's been in it and studied for a long time, all of that doctrine would give him the empathy needed, the understanding of suffering. No, people, look what the Word of God says. This is something that is extremely personal. There are some things that doctrine is not designed to do. And therefore, we have to suffer so that we understand the suffering of others. So verse 4 deals with the purpose of comforting others. So some comfort so that we can give the comfort that we receive from God. Now please put this in your notes, because some of you don't believe this, but here it is in the Bible. So be sure you get it. Some people do not believe that we receive comfort from one another. Use the doctrine in your soul and straighten up. The Word of God says that a believer can give comfort to another believer. This is what Paul is designed to do. Now let's finish reading verse 5. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, did you see what it said? His sufferings, Christ's sufferings are ours in abundance. I think I prefer his blessings in abundance. I take his sufferings in little doses. That's not what the Word of God says. His sufferings in abundance. So also, look what it says. Our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and your deliverance. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. I still think it's a bum rap, but I understand it. Pastor going along, minding his own business, doing what he's supposed to be doing, and pow, suffering. Not anything he did, just so, oh, I think you need to learn a lesson. Pow. This is one of the reasons we suffer. Verse 7, and our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing, there's the importance of doctrine, that you are sharers of our suffering, so also you are sharers of our comfort. This is believers assisting other believers. For we do not want you to be unaware of